Welcome back, folks, to the Scottcast. Start Kyle Orton podcast. Shoot, I was trying to do it exactly like Travis does it, but I can't remember now. In this
how
moment, he says Scott
dare
cast,
you screw it start, up?
Do you say Scottcast or Start Kyle? Anyways, welcome back to Start Kyle Orton.
There you go.
We've gotten to Travis's favorite night of the year, I think, every year when we talk about offensive line prospects. And, you know, to quote Ron Swanson, I thought it was getting a little chummy around here lately with some of me and Travis's takes. You know, back in our youth, we used to butt heads a lot, and I feel like we've been too in step on our takes lately. And that doesn't make for the best content, you know. So I brought in a ringer. Gang, I want you to say hello to my good friend Quentin Krischko here. Like I said last week, on Bears Twitter, if you're on Bears Twitter, God help your soul. But if you are, it's at Butkus Stats. And Q, I know you're right. You're still with OnTap Sports, right?
Yes, sir. OnTap Sportsnet. You can find my writing over there, the Bears on Tap podcast as well. We're doing our Building the Board project right now, where we are building a draft board for the Chicago Bears. And then also I do a just general NFL / gambling podcast called Shaving Points Podcast.
Yeah, you guys do the Building the Board every year. It's can't miss content for me. And it's through this that is like, you know, Q really seems like he knows what he's talking about when it comes to trench prospects. So I thought, let's bring him in.
Yeah,
let's see if
I
he can offer
you.
A little.
I convinced you, at least.
Yeah, let's see if he can offer a little different perspective, maybe, than I would. I have to say, I did not do a super deep dive into these prospects. I kind of looked at the numbers, as I usually do, and I kind of looked at, pulled a couple guys up to watch them, and then read what other people were saying about this class. And I was like, all right, I want to listen to Travis and Q get in the nitty-gritty. So Travis made me do the intro tonight, because I'm going to go ahead and moderate this discussion. We're going to get into the prospects in this draft. What I'm going to do is I've got some questions written. I'm going to pose them to each of you. We'll go turn by turn, let you both have your piece, and we'll see where you guys agree, we'll see where you disagree, and we'll see who I agree with, or who, if I'm swayed, and we'll, you know, then we'll let the audience decide, obviously. So are you guys ready to get this going?
It's like a game show. I'm so excited.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just want to say, well, first of all, thank you guys for having me on. And also, you know, it's MLB opening day. The Sweet 16 is on right now. And us sickos are sitting here talking offensive line. And I love it.
Absolutely. Yes, this is, God, yeah. I mean, it's funny because I make this joke every year. But, like, I was an offensive lineman in high school. And the thing that I spend all of my time on every draft season is the quarterback class. Like, that's what the spreadsheet is and everything. It's all quarterbacks, you know, because I just have that envy forever of actually athletic people. But Travis loves his trenches, man. He does. So,
you know, Kyle, it's in your bones to care about the quarterback.
Exactly.
There you go.
It is. So, all right, guys, we're going to start off with question number one. Are you ready?
Yep. Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay, the main vibe that I am hearing from this class is that it's a deep offensive line class, but it maybe isn't a top-heavy one, and it may be missing that true signature left tackle prize. There's no Joe Alt walking through that door in this year's draft. So I've got a gun to both of your heads right now. I'm an NFL GM. I need a left tackle that's got to start for me this year. If I give you that and I'd say I'm not considering any other position in the first round, you get me a goddamn left tackle, whatever it costs. Who's the guy you're telling me to take? We'll open the floor to our guest first. Q.
It's Will Campbell. I mean, I don't think there's a doubt there. Like, if for any criticism that there is out there of Will Campbell, he's still the safest left tackle in this class and one of the only guys who I think can stay at left tackle despite the short arms, despite all that. I think he'll be able to play left tackle just fine. Any of the questions out there to me about him come down to ceiling, not floor. I think he's going to be fine at left tackle. So you're saying you need a guy to play there this year? Will Campbell's that guy to me.
Okay. All right. Travis?
We are going to have a major disagreement right off the bat. I am so excited.
Okay. All right.
Kyle and I never disagree. I do not believe in Will Campbell at left tackle one bit.
I'm going to be honest, guys. Will Campbell was going to be question number four, so we're jumping the gun a little bit, but that's okay. That's okay. Let's get the Will Campbell takes out now. That's fine. He's a point of controversy.
But to answer your question, my guy would be Kelvin Banks, who is a guy with like as much controversy around him, I think.
Yes. Kelvin Banks was going to be question three. So let's not go too deep into that. You're going to ruin everything.
Kelvin's another guy. He's got short arm concerns, not quite as short as Will Campbell. I'm also not a guy who gets too hung up on the short arms thing. And I have noticed a little bit of a turn in the coverage just in general. I think specifically this year, maybe a little less caring about the short arms thing, which is good, I think, from a draft perspective. But I feel like Kelvin Banks has all the moves you want out of a left tackle. I've seen a lot about his feet. He's got slow feet. I feel like his hands make up for it. I think his arm usage is exactly what I want out of a tackle prospect, and I'll get into how I feel about Will later. But I'm glad we have such a big difference of opinion right off the bat. Right.
So I'm gonna move. All right, I'm actually gonna move question three up to question two. Then, just playing off of what Travis just said, coming into this year, just you hear about guys a year in advance generally. A year before the 2024 draft, you heard about Caleb Williams and you heard about Drake May, and then come draft time, Drake May took a beating. He kind of slid down, didn't actually end up sliding very far. The number three pick ain't that bad, but he took a beating, and this guy that had seemed like a lock for so long started to really kind of slide in people's perceptions. And I feel like all I knew about this class entering the season was I heard everybody talk about Will Campbell. I heard everybody talk about Kelvin Banks. And so I kind of clocked out. I wasn't really paying much attention to college football this year in terms of offensive tackle prospects until recently. And I entered this draft season, and I feel like I see Kelvin Banks. He's in the 20s of some big boards. He's in the 30s of some. I see people like even dismissing the idea that he's an NFL tackle. So Travis, I already know how you feel about Kelvin Banks because of what you said. Q, why do you think people have soured on Kelvin Banks over the last year versus the perception he seemed to have last year as a future NFL tackle prospect?
I think some of it is almost he played through an ankle injury towards the end of the year, and I think that tape has kind of hurt him. And I think he's more of there's a lot more development there to still occur with Kelvin Banks. And I think sometimes people see a guy who needs development and say, that guy's bad. Which isn't always the case, right? It's like players can get better, especially when they have athletic traits like Kelvin Banks does. I think he's gotten very, very impressive movement traits, but there's some technique aspects that he's kind of lacking. And really, if I'm going to be as frank as possible with this, Steve Sarkisian's offense does no one any favors. That is a hard offense to watch.
That I can speak to. Watching, because I watched a lot a couple years ago, I watched a lot of Adonai Mitchell and a lot of why am I blanking on his name, the super fast guy that the Chiefs drafted,
Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, I feel like I'm doing terrible with names, and my two main takeaways from that were that Quinn Ewers has the flattest, worst deep ball I've ever seen, and also that offense was just it works in college, but projecting it to the NFL in so many ways is just a fucking nightmare. Just like watching Lane Kiffin's offense or watching, what we derisively call Zoomer ball that North Carolina ran a few years ago. What Tennessee runs under Josh Heupel. I agree totally that the Texas offense muddies the picture for everybody that comes out of it, except for Quinn Ewers, who I think we could just say sucks.
Yeah, I mean, those offensive linemen, I think, are gassed the entire second half because they're constantly running all over the football field. And just, I don't know, I don't like assessing offensive linemen and smoke and mirror offenses because I feel like it's just hard to really get a feel for what they're supposed to be doing versus what they're actually doing. And I think that is some of what impacts Kelvin Banks here.
Okay. And then, all right, Travis, defend your guy. Go for it. I guess, why do you think he's slid? Actually, I'm going to force you to explain why you think he's slid down.
Yeah, I think the slip for Kelvin Banks is the same thing for Will Campbell. Sometimes you see him going, I think I've seen him 15th, 16th. You've seen Armand Membo climb draft boards, it feels like. And I think that just relates back to what you said at the beginning. There's not a bell cow offensive lineman in this draft. There's not a Joe Alt, but there's also not even like a JC Latham, really. There's not a guy you could say, this guy played this position in college and he's for sure that position in the NFL. He's going to anchor your line for, you know, years and years to come. There's a lot of question marks, a lot of guys who you hope can be a tackle someday, who you think are going to be really solid guards. Some guys who definitely can't move inside to guard. And then you're betting the farm on some guy who might be a good tackle one day, and you know that you're not going to be able to move him inside to guard. So I think people are just kind of reaching for something to anchor themselves to. I think Armon Membo's RAS score kind of did that for him. And so he kind of shot up the draft board, but I don't think it was particularly anything that Kelvin did. Although he was certainly higher at the beginning of this draft process than he is now. Like, yeah, like you said, the most recent mock drafts I'm seeing have him in the late 20s. It's like the Bears could pick him up if they traded back at this point.
Okay. So I'm going to transition related to that. Okay. So there are concerns about arm length for both Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks. Let's say those concerns are totally valid and they're going to have to kick inside. I've heard a lot of concern about how Will Campbell has such an upright stance and whether he can, if he's going to have to completely overhaul that to play guard. And if that's the case, if one of these guys is going to actually end up kicking, if they're both going to end up kicking inside, who do you think actually will be the better guard?
So
we'll go Quinn first.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I wasn't sure. But I think Kelvin Banks is the best guard in this draft.
Okay.
Like, all right. Bar none. He is my favorite guard prospect in this class. I think that he 33 and a half inch arms. He could stay a tackle. I think, you know, you're talking like just about the same as Darnell Wright, just a touch less. But I don't think he's the technician in pass protection to really excel at tackle. I think it's going to be a bumpy road for him to reach his ceiling there. I think if you draft him and you plug him in at guard, he's going to be a day one really good starter for you. Like, I just think that guy is a road grader. I think he bashes heads. I really like Kelvin Banks. I just think he's a guard first.
Okay. All right, Travis.
I am having a fantastic time right now. Will Campbell is the best guard in this draft. I think the upright stance thing is kind of an offshoot of what I see as his biggest weakness at tackle, which is Will has a really hard time finding and setting the proper anchor point. It feels to me like he gets lost out there sometimes. And when his feet are in the wrong place, he sometimes kind of desperately tries to land an anchor. And he had, like, I think the Texas A&M game, he got run around. He didn't give up many sacks, but he gave up a lot of things that could have been sacks. Scouten and Stewart were absolutely running him ragged. And it was all because it seemed like he wasn't certain of what he should be doing at the time. Now, it's possible that's the LSU offense. I never know with these SEC teams. But to me, it just kind of looked like all of his issues, getting beat off the edge by Shabar Stewart as often as he did, not finding the proper anchor point, having these kind of shorter arms. This is a guy who I feel like is a fantastic run blocker, like a really willing to hit you in the mouth kind of guy. He loves going forward, but he has a hard time setting a pocket against strong competition. So from what I saw, I was like, this is a guard. Like, this guy just slides in and he's just an all-world guard. He's got all of the tools that you could ask for at that position. It's just these little things at left tackle that concern me about Will.
So you don't think it's like a huge proposition to ask him to rework his stance? Because I've gotten differing opinions from guys as to how big of a project that would be to kick him inside and rework that stance.
I do not. Like, I don't think he's going to be better than, like, Tyler Booker, season one. You know, like, if I had to slot somebody in at guard right now, I just need a guy for 1 year. I don't think that's going to be Will Campbell. But I think 3 years down the road, I think he's the guy.
How would you compare him to our last favorite, T-Rex, tackle prospect Skoronski. Given how you felt about them and their respective drafts, who would you rank as a higher prospect, Skoronski or Will Campbell, if they were in the same draft?
I'd rather have Will Campbell coming out of the draft. Absolutely. I wasn't as high on Skoronski as other people were at the time, even moving inside to guard. I guess he's been okay.
Okay.
But I would much rather have Will Campbell, I think, if they were in the same draft at the same age.
Okay, Mr. Krischko, same question.
I put Will Campbell ahead of Skoronski. I didn't think Skoronski won with power as well as Campbell does, which that's why I think Campbell has a better shot at becoming a good guard than Skoronski did. But like I do think reworking the footwork, the stance, like that is going to take some time, like Travis kind of got to there. But with Will Campbell, like I don't worry that much about it long term. Because he seems like such a pro off the field, such a technician and a guy who really is dedicated to being great. Like, I think he's going to figure out whatever he has to do in the NFL. My question with him is just all upside. Like, how great can it be?
Okay. All right. So moving off of those two for a little bit, we're going to go to the rising star of the combine, and that is Armon Membo of Missouri. I'm going to let you guys just generally talk about how you feel about Armon Membo, because I'm just curious what you both think of him. But I guess the first question I'm going to ask is, I have seen some people say that they don't think that he's a right tackle only, kind of like J.C. Latham. He's a right tackle only, just set it and forget it. Don't try to kick him left. Do you guys think he could play left tackle? We'll go with the guest cue again.
I have no idea. I mean, how can you know? Like, it's a giant mystery to everybody. I went back to his on-3 recruiting profile to look at some of his high school tape. It was all at right tackle. I don't know if he can play left tackle, and I don't have any evidence pointing that he can. So that's a major question for him with me.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is a guy you draft to play left tackle. I've seen like projections to the Jets. Having Olufoshanu, I feel like a very similar prospect in the way my brain works last year as I have with Armon Membo this year, where I have some concerns about that play, and I think it would be very funny to have Olu at left tackle and Membo at right tackle. But yeah, I don't think you could possibly draft this guy to play him at left tackle, because that's just a lot of people are talking about kicking him inside to guard, and he's just not the kind of guy to play guard either. He's a right tackle. But he's not. The last two drafts, we've had these right tackle specialists. Two drafts ago, obviously, we had Darnell Wright. Last draft, we had J.C. Latham. And now we've got Armon Membo. But of those three guys, you got to put Membo last. Like, I would not put him on Darnell's level for sure. I don't think he'd be on Latham's level either.
Well, okay. So you mentioned, going back to Latham, I think you told me last year, didn't you say that you said that your hot take was that Latham was maybe your tackle one in the draft, but you didn't really have him on the board for the Bears because you thought he was a right tackle only, correct?
He was my tackle two.
Tackle two. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
How dare you impugn Joe Alt, Kyle? Anybody would have put someone above Joe Alt.
I was trying to remember. Yeah. Travis, I think, still has erotic dreams about Joe Alt.
There's still sticky stuff on the ceiling from the tape I saw
of Joe Alt. That man really loves
Joe Alt. I get it. And then when I first flipped on Joe Alt's tape, I was like, why is everyone talking about Olu? Like, this guy.
Yeah.
This guy is what we're looking for. But I'm sorry, what was the question here?
Well, we were talking about Membo and whether he could play. No, so I was talking about Latham. I hadn't actually finished the question. But you said Latham was your OT2 in last year's draft, but he wasn't really on the board for the Bears because you thought he was a right tackle only. Same thing with Membo. If you're the Bears and Membo is on the board, is he off your board because you already have Darnell as your right tackle? And you maybe, if Membo is a right tackle only, you're looking at moving Darnell left potentially, or kicking one of them inside, and you don't necessarily want to do that. So do you think Membo should be an option for the Bears at 10? We'll go with Travis first here.
No, hard no.
Okay.
You don't move Darnell for anything. You, like,
okay, that's
we don't decisive. Play with fire like that.
Okay, that's decisive. Q.
I think it would be silly for me to take him off my board because it's not. I don't think it's likely he's there at 10. If he's there at 10, then I'll have that conversation about, well, we think he might be able to kick into guard. I don't necessarily love him as a guard, but I mean, I'm not going to take him off my board per se, but like I'd have a hard time passing on that talent at 10, but it's also like, where are you going to play him? It ends up being right guard where you have a 34-year-old, right? Or 32. You're 32 or 34, I think, right now. So that does make some sense to me. It's all about how you think he projects the guard at that point, though, because you're not moving Darnell.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Okay. All right. It's draft night. The 10th overall pick has come and gone. The Bears spent it on a running back or a tight end or an edge rusher. So we're not talking 10. It's pick 39. And we'll say the first tier of offensive linemen is off the board. And let's say that tier is Membo, it's Banks, it's Will Campbell, and it's, who do we think is in that top? We'll say top four. Who would be the top four with those guys?
Either Connerly or Simmons, depending how you feel.
Simmons, yeah, okay. Simmons is a good... I'm going to ask about Simmons after this, too. Okay, so those four are gone. But your top guy in that second tier is there at pick 39. Who is that guy? You're sprinting the card in for this dude at 39 in tier two. Who is he, Q?
My rankings is Josh Connerly. Connerly is, I don't see how he gets out of the first round just because he has all the traits. Like, guys who have the physical traits and the arm length don't typically get out of the first round. So, like, you kind of have to take that bet. I don't love Connerly as much as some other people, but like I said, the traits are there. You have a hard time passing on that at 39 when you have a left tackle who has all the tools you're looking for.
Okay, Travis.
And I'm specifically the Bears, or am I picking
the best
guy outside?
This is a Bears podcast, son, so we're at pick 39, and those top four guys are gone.
Okay, I want to be clear here. My favorite guy outside of that group is Ariante Ersery from Minnesota, but I would not take him because I love Braxton Jones too much. so it would have to be, Tyler Booker at 39.
Tyler Booker, okay. You don't think Ersery could play elsewhere other than left tackle?
I think he is set at tackle. I don't think you move him inside to guard.
Okay. All right. Q, how do you feel about Ersery?
I think he's a guard who can play tackle.
All right.
Excellent.
Yes.
This is so good. This is why I did this. This is why, because I respect both of you, but like I was like, I think they're gonna have some different takes here. And I didn't know if I would. So this is great. Okay. All right, so let's say 39, and I want you, same question as the beginning when I said you have to get me a left tackle no matter what. I'm actually sitting here, I'm saying you have to get me a guard no matter what at 39, and that first tier of guys is gone. Who's your guard pick there? Your interior O-line pick there at 39 if you had your choice?
Starting with me?
Yeah.
Guess
first.
That's a tough spot. I'm probably going with Donovan Jackson. And that includes his upside at tackle, though, because I believe that I can get him. He's going to be a good guard. I think he might have the upside at tackle. And the only reason it's not Tyler Booker is because of the center you just signed. You're going to be running a lot of outside zone with Drew Dahlman. I think that's going to be a struggle for Tyler Booker.
Okay.
I think all that's right. Completely fair and also not an angle I had considered. But yeah, I don't think the upside is really there on Tyler Booker like there is on Will Campbell, like there is on some of the guys who I would want to kick inside to guard, even Kelvin Banks. If you really wanted to move him inside to guard, I don't think Tyler Booker has that upside at all. And that's a good point. That's a good point, actually. He's not great on the move. Those feet are very slow.
I say Booker tested quite poorly at the combine, did he not? Yeah. Okay. I hear a lot in that range about Gray Zabel. He's from NDSU, right? He's the latest guy from that pipeline. Travis, how do you feel about Gray Zabel if he were one of the Bears' two second round picks there?
Coached by a former Hawkeye offensive line coach, Gray Zabel. You know that when I look at a prospect, I like to watch them play top tier competition. So it's difficult to look at a guy like that in North Dakota State. And the best team he played all year was Colorado, not exactly known for their defensive line. He looked amazing in that game. You know, he looked great in the FCS. He is probably the most willing blocker in this draft. He seems like a guy who really gets a kick out of just hitting the hell out of somebody. And I can't really say that for anybody else except maybe Will Campbell when he's run blocking. But beyond that, like, what can I say? But gosh, he looks good and he looks fast and he's playing a bunch of guys in Division II. So I can't say for sure, but let's say the Bears are there at 39 and Gray's Abel sitting there. Why not? You know, like at that point, I do think most of these offensive linemen we've already chatted about are going to be off the board. And if he's just sitting there, maybe the Bears took an edge there at 10. Maybe they took Junty. Yeah, why not? Why not take a flyer on that guy? He certainly has the tools.
Okay, Q.
Yeah, I like Gray Zabel a lot. I think he projects best to center. So okay. That's where it gets tougher for me. I think he probably can play guard, but I think his highest ceiling is at center just because of how short his arms are and just some stylistic stuff with him I think is gonna transfer better over to center where he's gonna get a little more help on each side.
Okay, cool. Well, actually, so I guess my follow-up question on Zabel was going to be like, is that actually, because Travis, you talked about him a little bit, you know, he's raw, he's from a small school, he's a little bit of a project. I was going to say, does that make him an ideal pick for the Bears? Because ideally, whatever interior offensive line pick they may take is a guy that they're not expecting to start in 2025 at all, because you're hoping, you know, you got Tooney, you got Jonah Jackson, you've got Dahlman in there. Whoever you're drafting is hopefully going to be Tooney's, the succession plan for Tooney a year or two down the road. So does that make you more willing to take a chance on a guy like Zabel and just be like, you know what, somewhere over the next 1 or 2 years, we'll find a place for this kid on our interior?
Yeah, I wouldn't say project so much as I would say gamble, right?
Okay.
Because you can't be 100% on that.
So it's not a question of technique for you. No. It's a question of projection. Okay.
Right. Yep, I think he's been taught well. He clearly knows exactly what he's doing. You're not playing him at tackle, right? Nobody in the NFL, I think, is drafting Gray's able to play him at tackle. So he's young. Yeah, do you sit him behind a guy and have him learn from the best? I think that's probably a good idea for the Bears, especially, yeah, if they don't go offensive line with 10.
Okay, all right. So next question, Josh Simmons, obviously Ohio State tackle, was having a really good campaign before the knee injury. If he was healthy, where would he rank among the offensive linemen in this class for you? And then knowing that he's not healthy, how high would you still be willing to take a chance on him if so? We'll go with Q first here.
Number one.
He'd be the number one player for
you. He's the number one offensive lineman in this class if you take the injury off. I think that is clear on his tape. He's number one on my board right now, and that's like factoring in the injury. I don't.
Oh, wow.
Like that, okay. That doesn't mean that I actually think that he should be number one right now. I need to adjust my numbers a little. But, like, that's how much I liked his tape and how high I think his ceiling is. Now, what was the second half of this question?
How high would you be willing to take him with the injury factored in? Like, if the Bears took Simmons at 10, would you be mad about that? Would you be like, you know what?
In my heart, I'd be like, his tape rules. But I'm not a doctor. You know, like, that's where this all gets hard. I think in my heart, I know, like, you trade down, you get some extra picks. That makes it more okay, because you're taking a guy who has a higher chance of never being any good because of the injury risk. At least you're getting other bodies to make up for it.
Okay.
All right. probably trade down to like somewhere around 20, I think would be ideal.
Gotcha. Okay. Travis, same question. So where was Simmons on your board if the injury never happened? And then how high would you be willing to take a chance on him?
Oh man, that is a hard question.
That's why we're here, son.
I would probably have him around Kelvin Banks territory if he didn't get injured. So definitely, like, if we were in that 10 range, do the Bears consider him? Maybe. I would probably still lean towards Will Campbell because I just like the upside at guard more than Simmons would have. But we don't live in that world. We live in a world where he did get that injury. And you know how I feel about pre-injured offensive linemen.
I do know how you feel about pre-injured offensive linemen. I do, yeah.
That's a do not draft for me. I'm okay. Just avoiding him completely.
The Gabe Karimi scars are real, folks, yeah, and they are eternal.
It's Tevin Jenkins is the exact same way. It's a guy we knew had vague injury concerns coming in. And, you know, we may never learn exactly what is wrong with Tevin Jenkins, but something in that neck always keeps him on the sideline. It's something about these guys. They get hurt. Who did we have in last year's draft? It was who I also hated for this reason. Is that Amarius Mims or was it Tyler Guyton who had the lengthy injury history?
It was Mims, right? Yeah.
And I was just like, I can't believe somebody's going to draft this guy top 20 and look at what happened.
Yeah.
Like,
I swear to God, Amarius Mims is Robert Redford in the natural, though. His tape is just like, how is he? He's never played football. How is he doing this?
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm kind of with you. The guy who never stays healthy, like, yeah, that seems like a guy who's not going to stay healthy.
It's kind of like it's like NBA centers, right, who get that one injury, and it just feels like it's too much weight. Maybe it's too much height. Maybe it's both at the same time, but it just compounds and compounds, and it just never seems to go away for these guys.
Yeah. The only thing for me is that as opposed to the freaking Darnell Wright draft where, you know, I talked about how Poles pigeonholed himself, and you and I were sitting there when they were on the clock at 10 just saying, like, if this pick is anything other than Darnell Wright, Poles has fucked this entire offseason because they needed a starting right tackle, day one starting right tackle. It was so obvious. Right. There was a massive black hole. But this year, as we've said, the best thing about what Poles has done is he's really left them with a lot of flexibility. And so does the fact that you wouldn't be counting on Simmons in year one, and you could ideally give him time to heal up fully from that instead of, you know, the Bengals started Mims. Does that change your mind at all? Does that make you a little more willing to gamble there?
I'm sorry. Does what make me a little more willing to gamble?
That the Bears offensive line is, we'll say the Bears offensive line set. You're not planning on starting Simmons,
gotcha,
Simmons week one. So you're betting on upside entirely. And saying this is a guy that we think has the upside of being a legit left tackle in a draft that doesn't really have those. And we have the luxury of letting him heal and rehab and get back to 100% before we have to play him. Does that make you more willing to take that chance?
No, not in this case. But that this is like a very personal concern about a very specific instance.
Like
if this was a running back, I would say, sure. If it was a wide receiver, I'd say, yeah. But it's a guy who has to carry 330 pounds around and he's 6'6". And it's a whole different thing.
And you lived through, was it Mark Colombo? Was it? And we lived through Chris Williams, and we lived through.
Who was the guard that was drafted high by Arizona from North Carolina? Martin? God. Jonathan Martin? Was that his name? It was the same thing, right? Like you get one injury, and then it's another injury, and you're out because you're just huge. And it just, there's nothing you could do about it.
Well, and that's like, you know, Becton, Mekhi Becton, like, he went so high in the draft because, like, a guy that big shouldn't be able to move like that. And then he suffers two massive injuries back to back. I'm like, yeah, that's literally, that is the point. A guy that big can't move like that.
You said it yourself.
You should almost be suspicious of the fact that he can't and how long that's going to last. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. That's, you know, in this kind of draft with God, all of the options kind of fucking suck. If we're being honest at 10, there's nobody that I love with the 10th overall pick in this draft. I'd almost be willing to gamble. Like if you think that guy has an upside as a future starting left tackle in the NFL and you know, you can rest him and not have to play him. You can give him a red shirt gear so that he's not taking the field until he's actually healed, which most offensive linemen, especially highly drafted ones, don't get. I could be talked into that gamble. What about you, Q?
Yeah, I mean, I can absolutely be talked into that gamble. I think that there's Like, there's a lot of reason to think that the guy who is going to be able to do full rehab, he's not rushing back for opening day, you know? Like, I mean, he's been rushing back through this process, it feels like. He did do some stuff at the pro day the other day that was, you know, surprising that he could even move like that. But ultimately, that does ease my concerns a little. I just need a lot of information from the doctors and a lot of information from him. I mean, when it comes to some of the off-field questions that have kind of popped up too, I there's a lot of variables there that kind of make some questions. But the fact that he's not starting day one definitely eases my concern a little.
Okay, yeah. All right, so next question. Who's a guy in this draft that you like, that you don't feel like a lot of people are talking about? It could be a guy that's like a day three or four sleeper for you. Could be a guy that you think's actually, you know, a higher rated talent than that. But just like, who's your guy that's under the radar right now? Actually, I'll let Travis go first on this one.
Yeah, I already said his name, Ariante Ayersery, out of Minnesota. I was shocked when I watched his tape against everybody in the Big Ten, but specifically against Abdul Carter. Just fantastic left tackle play. Felt just completely at ease in that game, despite Kali Akmanis being his quarterback and just being a goddamn mess all the time and ruining it for him. Just like good feet, uses his hands just enough. I don't think he has like the talent of, you know, a Joe Alter, like, you know, obviously not, but like a Kelvin Banks even, or a Josh Connerly. Like he doesn't have that talent. Similar to like a Jordan Morgan type of guy, like a guy who, okay, I think could come in and like you put him at tackle and he's going to be like a pretty good tack for you. Middle of the road, middle of the NFL, you know, left tackle. You could probably move him to right. I don't see why you couldn't. Just really solid. There's nothing exemplary there, but it's all solid for that guy. And boy, there aren't a lot of guys like that in this draft.
Okay, what round grade do you have on him then? Is he a two for you? Is he a one? I remember Morgan on draft night. I think you were higher on Morgan than I didn't. I was like, I don't even know that I've heard of that guy. And you were like, no, I really like him. But yeah, what's the round grade that you have on Ursary?
In a normal draft that didn't suck as bad as this one, I would say mid second round, perfect. Right, you're not expecting a guy who's going to anchor your line for the next 10 years. You're expecting a nice workmanlike presence at tackle, who's going to like slot in and hold you down, right? In this draft, I don't know, like take him at 25 or something, you know, like there are a lot of bad picks in the 20s in this draft, and you could do worse than just having a solid tackle on your team.
Okay, Q. So first, I want to get your take on Ursary then in regard to what Travis just said. And then I'll let you answer who your guy is that you don't feel like people are talking about that you like, if it's not Ursary. I'm assuming it's not. You guys haven't necessarily been on lockstep on anything else yet tonight, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, Ursary is he's a fun watch. Like, they're, for his size, I feel like stress saying this now, but he moves extremely well for his size. So maybe he's one injury away from ending his career. But
now he's terrified, man.
Now he's scared that we're going to Becton curse him.
Dude, okay. Are you cursing my guy?
Yeah, that's the way we're going, Travis, right? Yeah. So I really think his athleticism is very smooth, very impressive for his size. But I want to kind of bold that phrase, for his size. Because I think he's still a touch slow relative to your average left tackle on protecting his outside shoulder and especially protecting against an inside move. I think that is going to be a bit of an Achilles heel for him at tackle, that protecting that inside move, because he has a hard time changing his momentum once he's going outside. And a lot of guys do, but a lot of those guys can't stick at left tackle. So that's why I think he is a guard who can play tackle when you need him to, more than a tackle who might be able to kick inside to guard. And really, I struggle with that, because usually when I'm saying I like a guy going into guard, it's because they are just an ass kicker as a run blocker. Because I think you need to be an ass kicker as a run blocker to play guard in the NFL. And I don't think Ursary necessarily is. I think his biggest strength is in his pass pro, but he shows enough grit that I'm like, I think I can get him there if I were a O-line coach.
Okay, cool.
I'm with you. That's my concern about Ursary, and that's why I don't see him as a guard. It seems like it's just going to be tackle for him to me. But I would love to share your faith because he's just a fun college offensive lineman to watch, and I want him to succeed in the NFL at some level.
All right, that's a great take on Ursary. Q, okay, who's your guy that's not being talked about if it's not Ursary that you really like?
So, I mean, Wyatt Millam has kind of dove down draft boards, and I'm just going to touch on him because there's a guy I want to talk about a little more. But Wyatt Millam, he's just a good offensive lineman. I think he has a very high floor in this league, and he's going to be a solid football player for a long time. But the guy who I want to talk about is Emory Jones Jr., the guy who plays across from Will Campbell at right tackle.
Okay, actually, I was going to ask, like, why isn't anyone talking about Emory Jones? Because I will say, earlier I was like, Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks were the two guys. But I remember people talking about Jaden Daniels last year and saying, like, well, and he also had, he had two first-round wide receivers, but he also had two first-round tackles. Like, there was this assumption that Emory Jones was a future first-rounder, and now I don't hear anybody talking about him. So, yeah, tell me what you love about Emory Jones.
No one talks about him because his tape is a freaking chaos. Like, he is angry. He is nasty. He wants to beat everybody up. He's another guy. Like, this draft is the oops all guards draft, right? Like, Emory Jones Jr., I think, is going to be a very good guard in this league. He has such impressive athletic traits. He has the traits to stay a tackle. But again, I see a guy who is a little undisciplined, a little like just out of technique. And I go, well, if I kick him inside, I can just let him keep playing like that a lot of ways because he's such a nasty run blocker.
Sounds like Tevin Jenkins you're describing to me.
He kind of is like a little similar to Tevin Jenkins.
Yeah.
Without the
injury concerns. But, yeah.
I comped him to Tyler Smith because Tyler Smith was such a chaotic football player coming out of, Tulsa, I think. Yeah, Tulsa a few years back, and just but an extreme athlete and nasty. And that's kind of what I see with Emory Jones.
Okay, cool. Travis, tape, do you have any thoughts on Emory Jones?
Sloppy.
Yep, so there is a chance he could end up that way. There's a chance he could end up like Broderick Jones. Again, like a very similar skill set to that guy. Like you said, controlled chaos, like it seems like he's got all of the ability in the world and he just doesn't know where to put it. So sometimes that works out. You get a lot of coaching into him and you refine him into this monster. Like, I would completely agree at guard, hopefully. Or you leave him out there like the Steelers did with Broderick Jones. And then, you know, bam, this guy's on the bench and we're replacing him in the very next draft. So definitely a risk, maybe a fun risk.
And one thing I would push back on that a little with is that offense at Georgia for Broderick Jones, they asked him to do what, like three things? You know, like the guy was coming into the league a very, very, very raw player from a what he was asked to do standpoint, whereas the LSU O-line was asked to do a lot of very different things and very difficult things this year. So, like, I think that is kind of a factor for me when I look at it because – I'm with you if he stays at tackle like that. You can see it get ugly. But like Broderick Jones is just he's a weird. I don't think they're comparable in their attitudes on the field and what they were asked to do, I guess.
Yeah, it all depends so much on what NFL teams really think of these guys, because I'm in complete agreement with you in that there are so many guards in this draft. There are so few tackles. And even between the two of us, the guys who were saying, you know, this is the top tackle in the draft, this is the guy I would absolutely play a tackle, we basically switched those people around. It's it's so difficult to pin somebody down. And it's a little disheartening after the last two drafts where I could just point and say, those are the guys, you know,
yeah,
like that, those are tackles right there. And I just can't do that with any of these guys. And we've seen NFL teams, you know, disagree with these takes about moving guys from tackle to guard. So, you know, I say something like, hey, this guy might be great. If you kick him inside at guard, he's going to be fantastic. And then he goes to New Orleans and they play him at tackle for 3 years. And then he's out of the league. And, you know, I look like an idiot. So it's a hard draft to talk about because I just don't know what people in the NFL are thinking about these guys.
Yeah, it's a very fair point.
All right. So that's the end of the questions that I have for you guys. So
we didn't talk about Josh Connerly. That's definitely one of the most interesting.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say. Let's open up the floor. Like, I'll let you guys, you know, it's free reading time. I want you guys to just whatever you've wanted to say, whatever you came to this podcast ready to say about offensive linemen in this class, and you haven't had a chance to, get it out now, Travis.
Hell yeah. I want to hear Q's takes on Connerly. To me, yeah, like I said, like one of the most interesting offensive line prospects in this draft. Like, it feels like an extremely athletic tackle, really solid in pass protection, like great use of the arms, great job keeping guys at length. I do not like his run blocking. I find that significantly wanting. And I'm kind of worried because this last episode, last week, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Kyle, we talked about how the NFL seems to be moving a little bit more towards that run game. And I think he's a bit of a pretty big weakness in the run blocking game. And I'm not sure if he would be a good fit to move inside to guard. So I think of him as the gamble in this draft. He's either going to work out at tackle, or you're going to try to swing him into guard like you are with so many guys in this draft. And I just don't see a future for him there. So I want to know what you think, Q.
Yeah. I mean, so Connerly is such a, depending on when you watched him last season, you're going to have a completely different opinion of him, right? Like, 'cause he was fairly new to the position. I believe that he played like running back in high school or something like that, and then got to Oregon and switched to O-line. And at the start of this past season, he sucked. Like, I thought he looked, I did not like his tape at all early in the year. But as I continued to watch and the season progressed, it was like, okay, he's figuring it out. So you saw him figure stuff out on tape as the season went on and kind of get a little more comfortable, a little more confident, and start playing a little more nasty as the year went on. I'm with you. His run blocking, it needs a lot of work. If there's something that I feel good about him with, it's that I saw that nastiness, that compete level kind of grow as the season went on. So I feel like there's more of that in there than I saw early in the year. But like, I really think he's a bet on traits more than anything right now, because there's a lot that he needs to figure out still, and giving him a chance to like sit for a year and learn and be coached by NFL coaches, I think would go a long way for him. But if the Bears are really honestly considering him, I want them to put him through the Darnell Wright workout, because you got to figure out what's in there mentally for him as far as like how nasty is this guy, because I still have the lingering questions about how much he likes contact, even though I saw it grow throughout the year.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, cool. Q, you got anything that you haven't yet talked about that you'd like to?
Let's see here. I can just go down the list. I just watched Tate Ratledge this evening for the first time since last year. And Well, second time, really, because I watched some, but I didn't actually grade it. I just graded it for the first time since last year. I'm really impressed with the growth that he had over the last year. When I first flipped on his tape 2 years ago when we thought he might be coming out, he was a mess. And last year, I felt like he was still pretty messy. What I watched from him this year, it's like, okay, he has figured out a lot of how to make stuff work. His hand technique has really grown in pass protection and run blocking. Like, Tate Ratledge is a guard who I'm interested in day two now, where if you asked me a year ago, I would have said like fifth round. So that's a guy who I think is worth mentioning here. And I think Marcus Mbau is worth mentioning just because he, not as a tackle, and he's a weird fit as a guard, but
it just seems like there's a lot of those guys.
Right. Yeah, but I don't know. There's something about him where, like, he just figures shit out. I think I can swear on this podcast.
Oh,
right?
God. Oh, yeah.
I feel like you guys, yeah. Okay. He just figures shit out. He figures out ways to win. He has some of the most unique techniques that you'll ever see from a college offensive tackle, as far as like his jump sets, his fake jump sets that he makes it work, even though he has really short arms. And that's a guy who I'm willing to bet on, a guy who's just finds ways to make shit work.
Okay. All right, Travis, do you have any thoughts on either of those guys that you just mentioned?
Tate Ratledge, mid-round, absolutely, 100%. That's my kind of guy. Kyle, have you ever seen Tate Ratledge?
I've never even heard of him before tonight.
Okay, I want you to Google
him.
I'm
just smiling and nodding politely at this
okay.
point.
Okay, this is a man you want to be on the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take a look at him.
He has the ideal offensive line aesthetic.
Okay.
Instantly. The maybe number one selling jersey in Chicago.
Okay. I did think of one more question while this was all going on. Who's your absolutely not with a 39.5-foot pole, if you've got one, in this draft in the first round on the offensive line?
This is great. This is the one guy we haven't talked about yet is the guy I absolutely do not want. That's Donovan Jackson. I don't need him. You can keep him. I don't see it. I don't see anything there. I don't want him at guard. Want him at tackle.
Q did mention Donovan Jackson a little bit earlier, I think. But I think he was talking about him more as like a second round option, though, potentially.
So, I don't like him in the first round because there's too many questions there. His guard tape wasn't strong enough for me to feel like he's a first round pick. And I'm not confident enough that he can stay at tackle for him to make sense in the first round. So, like, I'm with you. Don't, like, not in the first round. In the second, though, I am pretty interested in him. Just, and maybe this is, you know, this is where GMs can get in trouble, right? Like, I didn't adore his tape at either guard or tackle, but I thought it was good at both. Not great, but good. And the idea that he can do both is sticking in my head pretty strongly. And maybe that's where GMs get in trouble. Maybe that's where I can get in trouble. We'll find out. But like, I that's where I feel with him right now. Of like, that versatility that he offers really feels valuable to me.
Okay, Travis. So even in round two, is Jackson a no-go for you?
Yeah, I would probably stay away from him. I think that's kind of correct. Yeah, he has like, he's an okay college offensive lineman, and I feel like he was being propped up by just the Ohio State of it all. I feel like this is the guy. This is the guy somebody's going to draft at like 22 or 23 or something like that, who's just not going to work out. It's kind of like we talked about Cam Ward, where it's like he has the traits of a guy that are like just one tick above what an NFL quarterback needs, right? And it's just every category is just like, he's barely made it everywhere. Like, he has just enough speed, just enough strength, just enough accuracy. That's Donovan Jackson to me on the offensive line. Like, he ticks all the boxes of an offensive lineman, and I just don't think it's going to really work out anywhere for him.
Okay, Q, so you didn't want Donovan Jackson in round one. Is there the guy that you think is probably going in round one that you would absolutely want nothing to do with?
Is Tyler Booker still a first-round pick?
Maybe.
That's a good question.
I think that's...
I mean, I've been saying for months, and I was getting ripped on Twitter for one point for not wanting Tyler Booker in the first round and thinking he's a second round pick. So, like, that's kind of that's one name for me. Outside of that, I mean, I don't know, because like the first round guys I'm looking at, like I don't love Membau. But he's going to be a first round pick. He just has all the traits, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't argue. I don't feel like I can make a strong argument of, yeah, the guy has all the athletic traits and all the length, and like, I don't want him in the first round. Like, you need to take those bets when you have needs there, right? But a guy like Membau, still on my draft board. So that's not a don't want. And I like Simmons a lot. The injury scares me, but I'm still interested in him. Will Campbell, I have my questions, but like, I think he's going to be a good NFL football player no matter what. So, like, he's still there. And Kelvin Banks has said, I feel like is the best guard in this class. So, yeah, I feel like that hits all the first-round guys. After that, you're talking about Booker It's Booker.
Travis, this is a strong night for your menagerie of animals in the background. They're really...
Oh, no, it's my my family is going to bed right now, so they're opening closing doors.
Okay, I heard some cats, and I thought I heard a dog there at one point. So
the creaking of my 1800s ass house.
That's true, yeah. I'm a little sad we've gone a couple episodes without a cat playing piano in the background.
I closed the piano, and I got to tell you, the last time we recorded, that cat was sprinting around in circles. He was so pissed. Wanted to hit that piano. Tyler Booker, I just wanted to follow up on that. In last year's draft, we haven't talked about the comparisons between this awful draft and last year. In any save draft, but especially in last year's draft, this is a guy who would be talked about as like top of the third round, probably. Mm. I don't think he would have even broken into the second, you know? And in this draft, it's just, there are so few sure things. We get to gambling so fast. Kyle, I think I sent you a list of like seven players who I thought were definitely going to be like starting caliber NFL players. And past that, it feels like it's a gamble.
So you're talking the offensive line, or are you talking the draft entirely?
The whole draft.
Yeah.
The whole draft.
That's good. That's what I thought, yeah.
And I would have Campbell and Banks as two of the guys in there. Not because I think either of them is definitely going to succeed at one set position, but because I think both of them are going to have a good opportunity to succeed somewhere along the offensive line. But yeah, after that, you start gambling. So then you start looking at guys like Tyler Booker, who's just a big, solid guard on the inside, and you're like, okay, do I gamble or do I just take the okay guard? Like, do I just take that guy, and do I not look at Mike Green, right? Do I avert thine eyes from Shamar Stewart, right? Like, do I just take the solid bet? And I think that's why Tyler Booker just keeps kind of hanging around, even though who was the guy out of NC State that we were looking at last year? I mean, he's basically the same thing. Like, he should be in a normal draft going at like pick 50. And you would say, great, I got a big old guard in the second round, and I feel okay about that. You know, I've solidified the trenches, but yeah, surely he will go at like 17 or 18, and we'll all just shake our heads at how bad this draft is.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's everything I've got. We got almost a full solid hour of content here. You guys got anything, any notes you want to go out on? I think you guys have said your piece. I think we've talked about most. Yeah.
All right, Q, gun to your head. Team agnostic. Top three offensive linemen in this draft in order. You don't know what position you need. Who are you taking? 1, 2, 3.
Josh Simmons, Will Campbell, Kelvin Banks.
And I'm despite what I said earlier, because I like his upside at guard so much, I would also go Campbell and then Banks. And then I would probably like close my eyes and cry and reach out to Eugene, Oregon and take their left tackle and just pray to God that it works out.
Right. That's why I'm going with Simmons, because I'm like, I feel like if we're talking a 50-50 proposition, I might as well do the injury.
That's fair.
Like,
yeah.
The tape I trust over the,
I don't
the
even
developmental
project.
I think like, that's where I'm at. I think I would gamble on the guy whose tape I genuinely love and just be like, well, injury is the only risk here versus the likelihood that this dude just fucking sucks. You know, yeah. I don't want to talk. I'd rather talk myself into a guy's health than a guy's tape. I really would. And I'm probably going to get burned on that time and again.
I mean, my stance on it it burned me last year with one or two players, but like, I'm not a doctor and I'm not going to try to be a doctor. You know, if the guy's tape is great, you know, I'm not making the decision. You know, if I were making the decision, I'd have medical professionals around me advising me on it, you know, but I don't. All I can go off is what I see, and what I see is a really good football player.
All right, guys. Well, this was great. Q, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Scottcast fans, make sure you're checking out Building the Board and Bears on Tap for sure. Read his tweets. He does great stuff. Him and I have followed each other for years at this point. So, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on, and I am honored to now say I have been on the Scottcast.
Because I mean, it's in your name. It's literally, it's Quentin Krischko. Sko. Yeah. It's right there at the end of your name, man. You're right. You're one of us from birth. You didn't even know it. So
yeah. I mean, I have loved the Kyle Orton Jack Daniels picture since I was in like middle school. So.
Oh yeah. All right. Okay. Well, I think that's it, man. Travis, push the button. Now you know I'm leaving Chicago, and people I show do hate to go. Now you know I'm leaving.